There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always,
it's Ben Vernell coming in hot, Tommy, full of energy on that intro.
Well, doing the quote the way it's sort of meant to be, with the cadence that it's meant to be delivered, which I never do. I've also never seen that film, so...
Me neither.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we watch it as research for this podcast?
Okay. We'll organise one of those, because now at cinemas in Melbourne, at least, you can book out the whole cinema.
Yes.
We'll get 15 filth along, watch Good Morning Vietnam, and then we won't be stealing valor anymore on our intro.
Yes.
Yeah.
It'll be earned valor at that point.
Yes.
Okay.
Being booked out of cinema and watched one movie from like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Earned valor.
I'm a vet.
Yeah. I'm the same as one of the guys that ran into the towers and rescued people.
No, I'm just saying we're the same as Robin Williams.
Right. Okay.
Even that is a bit of a stretch. Did we say our names?
What, depressed comedians?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay.
I don't believe you two have said your name.
No,
yet.
I did.
No.
I think I said, I'm Ben Vernell. Remember?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
This other man, I don't want to steal his thunder
no
here.
No spoilers.
The third man with us definitely hasn't.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night, in case I don't see you.
Very good.
It's from a different movie. My name's Adam.
Good morning, Truman.
Good morning, Truman.
Where he's doing a radio... He thinks he's just doing a radio show for himself, but actually... He's being beamed all across.
No, someone would be holding a microphone above his head on a boom without him knowing.
Yes.
So his whole life would be a radio show.
Yeah. He just happens to very weirdly talk in his day-to-day life in the cadence of a radio presenter.
Some people have those voices. You know when you meet someone and their voice is like, hello, how are you? It's pretty creepy.
The weather in East Melbourne today is a fine 26 degrees.
Chaos on the streets of Baghdad.
Sir, this is a Wendy's.
Yes, yes.
Not the time to be talking about like that, mate. What, come
wrong
on.
Place.
Yeah. Just order a burger or whatever we have.
You guys see that viral video of the two men fighting?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I did.
It's great. Yes. His whole ass out.
Yeah, that's good shit.
So this is it. Is that a Wendy's?
No, it's some other American thing.
A Wawa or something.
Yeah, that's. I think
is
that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, a baby named it.
A baby is trying to say Wendy's.
Oh.
Wawa.
Sir, you are a baby. In a Wendy's.
Yes. Has that become a thing, do you think? Like I could see that being a viral TikTok thing where people turn up to Wendy's and they just have an existential breakdown at the counter. And they're just goading the person into saying, sir, this is a Wendy's. The idea that the person thinks that
it would
never happen. The reason that you're saying something weird is because you don't know what building you're standing in.
Yeah, it's not helpful to say, is it? If someone's like, damn, oh no, I can't believe that blah, 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 life isn't real and the universe is ending and whatever those tweets are.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be such a rude response to be like,
this is
sir,
a Wendy's.
Yeah.
This is a Wendy's.
Order
we don't talk about that
off.
Stuff here.
Yeah.
And then the person behind the counter was my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, then I got off of the bus the Wendy's was on. What's another one?
Another
I don't know. Keep listening
cliche.
To the podcast and we'll do them sincerely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we should give a little shout out to a little product that we got sent.
Yeah, we got sent a, I believe, you tell me, Ben,
because
you've got the full name here. Oh, imagine having to unlock a phone. Oh, no.
Well, this is a Wendy's, so I don't know.
The fact that it's like one of the strictest parts of the world, yes, that if you deviate from what they expect you to do at a Wendy's, they will ignore whatever request for help you've made,
yep,
and simply demand that you follow the rules of a Wendy's.
The only time it's appropriate to say is if you order a Big Mac.
I guess so. Right? But no, you just say like, oh, we don't have that. Do you want one of our burgers?
Yeah. We don't have one because it's a Wendy's.
All right. For our American listeners.
Sir, this isn't McDonald's.
We're throwing down the Wendy's challenge. Go in and just see.
No,
if
don't
you,
do no, that. I don't want people to trace us back to some
we don't
pickle
want
Rick
any,
shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Szechuan sauce.
Yeah, no filthy casuals.
If anyone gets on a fucking countertop anywhere, I'm going to ignore it. I'm going to say, sir, do not do that here in my shop.
Yeah. The HyperX Quadcast S RGB USB condenser microphone. We got sent these by this company. It was very nice of them to send it through. We've used them.
Yep.
They
we
sound beautiful.
We got sent them a few weeks ago. Now.
Yes.
Yeah, a very patient company. Yeah. Perhaps the nicest thing we could say about them.
Absolutely.
They've waited a very long time.
Yeah. Being called HyperX, like, they have to understand that the rest of us don't move at that speed.
Yeah.
Not most, most of us aren't hyper.
Mm-hmm.
But lethargically, we got around to use it. And they're good microphones.
Yeah, they're great. They look sick. I reckon if I get back around to Twitch streaming, which Filth will have noticed, none of us have done for a little while.
We were allowed to go outside here, and it was a huge privilege and an honor. Thank you very much.
Sir, this is a Wendy's. But yeah, they're sick. They have these beautiful, like, flowing gradient RGB lights. It sounds great. There's a little mute button on the top. Nice little stand. Condenser mic, so you can sort of sit comfortably around it. We obviously use stage microphones here because we are stage performers.
We're used to treading the boards and we like the podcast to feel like an extension of that.
Yes.
How are you guys going up the back there? Come on, mate.
You guys a couple?
Or is it,
I was in a Wendy's the other day.
You all know what that's like.
You start crowd work and you're like, what do you do for a job? And then he's like, I'm a plumber. And you go, sir, this is a Wendy's.
It makes as much sense as half of the...
Yeah,
they it's got like a little setting so you can change what type of condenser shit it's like. I forget the microphone word for
The cardioid something.
Yeah, something like
I don't
that.
Know.
The
yeah.
cartilage.
Cardi B?
Cardi B.
Cardi B, yeah. My girlfriend...
It's four different settings where it's either like... Ah! Or like...
Yep, that's a wonderful Cardi B impression.
My partner hit me with a great joke the other day. She's got a Cardi B t-shirt and she's just like very, very seriously like walked up to me in our house. Don't preempt it, but if you get it right, I'll give it to you.
Okay.
She said, oh, you know Cardi B's got a sister. And I was like, oh, really? No, I had no idea. She's like, yeah, she's really big into fitness. Her name's Cardi O.
And I
said, fuck off, and walked out of the room.
Walked out of your own house.
Yes.
No, I thought it was, I was going to say, are you sure it was a t-shirt or a cardigan?
Oh,
yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I also loved the setup to that interaction where you said your partner walked up to you. So just this image of Ben standing in the center of the room, just idle, just staring at the wall.
Yeah.
And his partner,
just T-pose. Arms out.
She hit X to interact. Yeah.
Strolls up, says that, walks back into another undisclosed part of the house. And that was the only interaction you had all day.
Yeah, so it was great.
It's going great over there.
You two walking around your house like NPCs is really funny. Like, seeing each other in the morning being like, have you heard of the elves? They used to live around here.
Yeah, I used to be an adventurer like you.
Yeah, that's great. And then she goes to talk to you again and you just say the exact same phrases over and over again.
Yeah.
I've only got one. They didn't bother to write anymore.
There's four topics.
Yeah.
The ones you've talked about them once, they're grayed out. You can ask them again.
I do love that in a game where it's like, you know, some of them it's like you go and talk to the same person again and again. And sometimes it's like fun to say like, when do these run out? Like, when do they cycle back around again? And sometimes you're like, wow, they've built in about 15 of these. They really want to make this feel believable.
Mm.
And then plenty of other times it's just like, nice son, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nice son, isn't it? Oh, fuck. Okay, just one.
That's a dad character who says that. He's a father of a son.
Patting his head.
Yeah, friendly one. Yeah,
that just goes to show how long it's been. Since I've been outside with the lockdown. Nice sun, isn't it? That's me trying to talk about the weather.
Yeah, the only topic you can remember.
Wonderful shine on today, yes. The RGB lights are nice on it. Like, I don't have... I think I missed the RGB boat, personally, because I've seen a lot of people changing their setups to be grassy and woody. Mm. People are moving to nature.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. I like RGB. It stands for really gorgeous, beautiful, if you don't know.
Okay.
I think it's red, green, blue, right? Surely.
Yes. Yes.
And they're, surely.
I thought it because you can get these strips that go like behind a TV or a monitor duplicate whatever lighting is on the screen and shine it behind your
screen.
That. Well, one of our...
So it looks like it extends kind of.
Yeah, one of our patrons in the Filthy Casuals Patreon group, accessible by donating just $5 a month to this podcast.
This is a Wendy. Thank you. Why did you say all of that stuff?
We're 10 minutes in and this has been entirely an ad so far. For Wendy's, this microphone and the Patreon group. Yes. We're doing a telethon this week. Phone in now.
Hey, why do they call it Wendy's? Because it's so slow that you're like, Wendy's burger's coming.
That's not bad.
Are they slow? Sir. But yeah, they're good microphone. If you need a microphone.
That's a vanilla girlfriend level of joke.
Thank you.
Punnery. Sweet punnery.
Sweet punnery.
Sean Punnery.
Simon.
Get the tour. Punnery.
The
we all did one.
The USB-C, nice little metal stand.
Yep.
It feels
like a nice product.
Yeah.
We've had some experience recently with some high grade consumer tech.
Have we?
The PlayStation 5.
Oh, right.
You know what we're doing here, Knox? Yeah. And it's like well in line with that. I was really impressed.
To be fair, you couldn't have said something more vague. That we've had some experience recently. All things are high-grade consumer tech now. We live in the future.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know. On a video games podcast, when we're about to talk about the thing we've all owned for 2 weeks, you realize you're not doing Ooh Spooky right now, right?
Yeah. This story's boring.
When's Bigfoot going to come in?
I don't think ghosts are real.
Bigfoot, the ultimate high-grade consumer tech.
That wristwatch that he's got on.
Yes.
Real nice.
Yes. Anyway, thank you to HyperX, and it's a good microphone. Go get it if you want one.
Mm. Yeah, it's got a mute button on the top, which is really handy if you do multiplayer stuff, and a volume adjuster too, because you can plug your headphones into it. Yeah, it's nice. Sits on a desk nice.
Yeah.
Looks good. Good sound microphone. We did some recording tests and stuff, but we're recording this on our normal setup now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
A Zoom. One of the 50 things that are called Zoom now.
Yeah. What's going on with that? You guys heard about this?
Shut up.
Heard about this Zoom?
We can't have this whole episode be where we're in the mood to ironically
to
make
to
lame jokes.
Around.
Pretend to be bad at comedy.
But because it just is a self-fulfilling prophecy.
I know.
Yeah. I should not.
Well, speaking of purchases, I don't know if you're ready to share this with the public yet, Ben. Sorry if I'm throwing you under the bus, but you told us last night.
You bought a human.
bought a big old gaming chair.
Oh, yes. I had no idea what you were talking about because it has not been delivered. Therefore, I've forgotten about it entirely.
Mm-hmm. Should we wait then until you've got it so you can tell us what you think of it?
Tell us what you think about it now.
Because we did a couple of episodes on the ordering process and the delivery wait time.
Yeah.
Another high-end consumer-grade product.
Yeah, good
point. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Good
don't
point.
Know how.
Well, let me tell you that the order was placed on November 24th.
Uh-huh.
So we'll see when it arrives. Delays could be expected due to COVID.
The bit that I found interesting in the chat was you were saying that, or I think Adam informed you that it's quite a heavy chair when it arrives. And you've got a bad,
and after that
famously
too.
Got a bad back.
Mm-hmm.
So you may have to get your partner to carry this gaming chair into your house and set it up for you, which... boy, I would love to observe that interaction.
Look, I think I'm going to have to do it. She doesn't have a lot of upper body strength. She's a small, petite lady.
Well, she focuses on Cardi B's cousin.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Jonathan.
But yeah, I guess
Jonathan B.
I'll say what it is. It's a secret lab.
Yeah.
It's the Omega version. For the petite gentleman,
which
I guess.
They're just sizes.
Yeah.
I hate that mine's called the Titan.
Yeah,
because often when people come around, like people make fun of the fact that I have a big chair in the corner of my room that says Titan on it.
Yeah.
It basically says big lad on it.
Yeah. Which, like the Mr. Big section of Target or whatever when you have to walk there and like. just Mr. Big is like, you shouldn't name a part of a shop after what a bully might call you.
Yes.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Or the, what's the other label they have? Max with two X's?
Oh, well, that's sure. That's all sorts of clothes.
Is it?
That's just a brand. Yeah, they do right. shoes and shit. You can't have fat shoes. it's true.
Okay.
So yeah, that's separate. But there's Mr. Big, and then there's like fucking Hurly Burly, or so. There's just
Big and Tall.
There's
big
all and tall. Sorts of bullshit when you have to get bigger clothes.
Mm-hmm.
They should just call it Real Man Can. Do that bullshit solo branding on it.
Yeah. I think the most polite one is High and Mighty.
Ooh,
no, that makes you sound like you're a cunt
or but a giant.
Well, yeah, I said the. I didn't.
For the pretentious
I didn't say,
man.
I didn't say it is polite. I said it's the most polite.
Sure,
like
sure.
They've thought high, just tall. I like that tall gets thrown in the mix as well. It's like, hey, you might not be a big boomba. You might just be 7 foot.
Yes.
You could be skinny as. You just need clothes that fit different because you're very high and mighty. You command you know, you're very... You're a very commanding presence when you enter the room.
Yeah.
For any number of reasons.
But the people buying these clothes, we're not Genghis Khan. Like, it is just COVID, huh?
Yeah.
That's been the thing recently, is going back and being like, even my fucking Mr. Big shirts are starting to creak a little under the pressure.
Right.
I got to be wearing scaffolding soon enough. Because, you know, that'd be...
No.
That's wearing
big things.
I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
I
reckon that's fine.
All right.
Sir!
This is a high and mighty. Yeah.
This is a Mr. Big, sir.
We're now, 2 weeks into the PS5?
Mm-hmm.
Let's check in. How are we going? I've been trying to 100% Astro's Playroom.
Oh, sure.
I did that the other day. I got all the trophies.
Yeah, it's pretty easily.
It's the first time I've ever done it with any game, I'm pretty sure.
Do you get like a platinum trophy? Is that what happens? Yeah.
And it means nothing. I've never gotten the appeal of trophies and achievements and all of that stuff. It just doesn't quite do it for me.
I quite often can never be fucked going and 100%ing something, because often you've put a fair bit of time in, you've seen the credits, but because it's such a short game, I just want to redo all the levels again and, you know, do them with a bit more of a keener eye and look out for all the... And they're often hidden in places where, like, I was doing the jungle one where you're in the monkey suit climbing, which is my favorite part of the game. And to find all the hidden little bits in that, you have to look out for all these, like, veering pathways. So if you go and get all the little hidden bits in that section... It expands it by like 3 times the length.
Right.
Totally. So like my favorite bit of it, I was like, oh wow, this just goes for, this is just more of this great section of the game.
Mm. Awesome. Well, I was getting all those little bits and pieces because I loved all the real high detail models of all the old PlayStation shit along the way. And then there's like some hidden ones that are like, do a fun little extra PlayStation thing that we won't tell you about. And it'll just pop up a thing with like a little... joke name that's like a reference to something,
right?
A PlayStation. So like, I don't know if a hidden achievement, a hidden trophy counts as a spoiler, but for example, I'll need to remember what I don't think it was. Oh, I remember what it was called now. So like the level where it's raining.
Yep.
There's a bit where you can take shelter next to a little heavy rain Easter egg thing of like the little origami thing. And if you take shelter for a couple of seconds, it'll pop up a thing that's Jason with an exclamation mark, which is the joke thing from Heavy Rain.
Yes.
How he kept going, Jason! Little bits and pieces
like that.
Yeah,
that's cool.
So much thought and care put into that whole thing. I really want to see a full-blown, regular length game, Astrobot game now. And they've proven themselves pretty well twice now.
And like I said, I think last week, there's that... recognition of the character now, because everyone got this game for free on the system. So even if you didn't know the character or have much of an interest, you probably played it for a little bit. So if they go, hey, there's this one for sale now, like most people are going to go, oh yeah, I like that little guy, which is pretty, you'd have to think there's something coming.
I mean, if they're doing it with Sackboy, give Astrobot a run.
I mean, it's the same silhouette. Just pivot away from Sackboy to Astrobot.
It's just wool versus metal.
Yes, metal is the material of the future.
Metal's... I agree.
Thank you.
Everyone's talking about metal.
The kids are calling it metal.
Tin, aluminum, platinum. What do these things have in common? These words might sound strange to you now, but you'll be talking about Titanic.
I have not gone back to Astrobot. I also haven't gone back to Valhalla. And I kind of dipped out on Miles Morales not long after starting it. But fuck, I'm still loving the system. I've been playing a lot of God of War, really enjoying starting that again from the start. And I've been playing Demon's Souls.
Mm-hmm. Tommy and I's game that we enjoy.
Yep, I believe I went home and bought it after last week's episode, along with Call of Duty Black Ops 2, which I haven't started yet.
Black Ops 5.
Black Ops a million. Yeah, yeah.
Call of Duty 17, Black Ops 5,
that's right.
Cold War. Literally, fucking no hell. Exaggeration. Well, technically more as well, because that's just the mainline ones. There are a whole bunch of side ones,
oh,
too.
Yeah, yeah, like the World at Wars and the World War
World
Twos.
At War was a mainline one.
Oh, really?
There were two... we don't need to go into it. Go to Wikipedia. But there was Big Red 1, which was the second... the sequel to the console-only Call of Duty Finest Hour.
Sir, this is a Wendy's.
Yes, I know. I'm wasting your time. I know where I am.
The disgust on your face when you realized how quickly you were recalling the timeline of all the Call of Duty
there's
games.
A whole bunch. There's like the Wii version of Modern Warfare. There's the DS and Vita and all sorts of bullshit ones. Yeah. There's Call of Duty all over the place. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this is a good one, I reckon.
Right, yeah, yeah. But I haven't started it yet.
Okay.
But what I've been conversing with you guys about over group chat is Demon's Souls. I was really excited to play it. The trailers that I'd been watching for it made it look so cool.
Mm-hmm. Which it is.
And I messaged you after I had played it for about an hour, hour and a half maybe, and was like, I hate this game. It's shit. I want to take it back. It's frustrating. The control... I mean, I'll try and find the message.
An absolute laundry list of bugs.
Screed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most of which boiling down to the game hasn't told me how it works.
Yes. Yes, exactly right.
Well, this is the thing I found... This was what's fascinating about this interaction and knowing that you'd only played it for an hour and a half.
Mm.
So you basically go, I don't know what I'm meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
You die so easily. It feels like the controls are on a delay.
Yep.
You go back to the start having, you know, you have to do it all again and then you just die again and you feel like you've learnt nothing.
Yep. You remembered my message almost verbatim.
Yeah, and but then all of a sudden, then the next message is, yeah, I just beat the first boss really easily and now I'm on to the second bit. And it's like,
and it was
all these complaints and you managed to get to and beat the first boss within 90 minutes?
Like, beat the first boss and you were like, I don't know how I got there.
Yeah.
Which is like...
You're good at this game. Why are you finding it so frustrating?
The problem is spatial awareness. It sounds like.
There was a 17, 25, 29 minute gap between the first message and the I beat the boss.
Right.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, you couldn't even get in the fucking, you know, past, because it took me ages to just even get up the steps leading into the castle.
Right.
As I was like getting the grips with the controls and everything and like kind of learning, oh, okay, yeah, you have to really be smart about this. You
can't just
barrel in and patient.
Yep, yep.
But it took me, like I said, it took me a whole night of getting beaten again and again and again and then going back and changing the class that I was and then found it a lot easier, but only because I had that prior knowledge. But you just, you were able to just barrel through pretty easily, it seems like.
I don't know what I'm getting out of this game at this point or really how I feel about it, because I've played it for about 5 hours now.
Right.
But I'm still only in just the next section, the Lord's Path. With the dragon, and then like I've got to the Tower Knight twice.
Okay.
But I feel like each time I start, I pick it up again. So like I've played it over for 5 hours over like basically five different sessions almost, and it feels like each time I start it again or pick it up again, I've forgotten heaps of stuff. The muscle memory of the controls is sort of gone. I'm back to feeling like, yeah, it's like stodgy combat, but then sort of weirdly weightless movement. It feels like an old game in the controls.
Well, yeah. And they were weird at the time because like the movement is pretty, like you say, like you
can push sort
a direction
spin on
and you
the,
just go.
Yeah, you spin on the top almost. But then,
I did because you and I differ pretty wildly in how we like controls to feel.
Mm.
I love this kind of really almost weightless, fluid, very fast movement. And
it's
that when I was playing it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It almost feels like Mario. Is. Yeah.
Yes.
I did think that would be a big hold up for you because I know we differ in how we kind of like the weight of characters to feel in games.
Well, yeah. And then the attacks that you do, animation priority is what they called it back in the day, which is like once you've told it to do it, it will take its time doing it. Mm. Like, there is an animation that it will go through, and it's deliberate because, like, if you've got different amounts of armor on and shit, your weight, and if you're using a weapon that you don't have the stats for, you can still use it, and the game won't let you, won't tell you, like, oh, you can't use this yet.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll just be, you'll swing it like if you were swinging a real life big axe and you couldn't hold it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you've got something that's working, it'll, yeah, it'll go through with the attack as it pans out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I'm coming to grips with that.
Yeah.
But like I said to you guys initially, I don't know. What I'm learning is not from the game. Or no. As in, like, it's not presented to you in the game.
It's not tutorialized.
Yeah,
yeah. I felt the same way. Like I said, I had that first night of it, and then I kind of sat up in bed reading stuff about it, and then almost got back out of bed to keep playing. Because, you know, you, like, read it. It's like, oh, no, this is what you're meant to do here, and this is what it's trying to teach you. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, this all makes so much more sense now.
And the game is asking you to go looking.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's lots of stuff that it won't outwardly tell you that you can figure out if you're really poking at it is the thing. It wants you to investigate.
I feel like that's the thing. The other thing is, like, I'm a bit annoyed that it's not presenting it to me on a platter, which is probably just because that's how most games are now and I'm used to it.
Right. Well, and this came out around the time when that had started to happen.
Right.
Which is part of why people got so into it, because it is very old-fashioned in that way, and deliberately so, but, like, yes, there is a reason that every other game started going in the other direction.
And I think that other reason, possibly for me at least, is I don't necessarily have the time it would take to organically discover this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm finding it quite annoying to literally have to start an entire level again every time I die.
Right.
And lose progress. Like, the only progress marker you really have, aside from, like, finishing an entire level, is the souls you collect and leveling up.
Yeah.
And it's just so frustrating to me when I'll die and I'll lose those souls, and it's like, I just died at the boss. Right. I just died outside the door to the boss. All of those souls are gone.
Well, you know, you can recapture them if...
Yes,
yeah,
totally.
Not all... I mean, you can,
if you die again, they're
gone.
Yeah.
And if I have to then put the controller down and go to work, or if I have to, like, come do the pod, or I'm going out for dinner or whatever, then...
The three activities.
The three reasons to leave the house.
Yeah, if I have to go to the grocery store. Like I said, because I'm new enough to the game, I'm forgetting that... I'm out of that flow of, oh, I've learned how to do the combat properly. I'm feeling like I'm in a groove with it. And that's frustrating that I just literally lose that progress.
Yeah.
But I'm getting better at the game, which is something you've emphasized, Nox. The more you play it, you do get better at it.
Right.
And you do find satisfaction from that. And I am liking it more. I'm not in the same stage as I was at the start where I'm like, oh, this game is bad for me.
Because also what you were saying, like, it wants you to go poking and find these things out. Mm. The problem I would say with that is that it's just kind of too high risk to want, you know, when you're further into a level than you've ever gotten before, you do feel really like, this could be the run where I make it and then I clear this bit and I don't have to worry about it anymore. I don't want to take this risk. I don't want to go down this corridor or kind of, like, poke around to investigate what this system means or go. And because also, going into the menus doesn't freeze time.
Yeah.
I read that there's a thing in this remake where you can go into photo mode, which is like a kind of de facto.
Like a cheat pause.
Pauses it, yeah.
Yeah.
And people were a bit like.
It does.
It does.
Does it really?
Because I read a thing where some people were a bit like, you know, the purists are a bit up in arms that there's like a fake kind of pause in there, which sort of like the fact that you do have the ability to do that changes it.
It was but only ever like that because it's a multiplayer thing too.
Yeah,
it was like
always
accessing the server, so that's why I didn't do it.
And in the day you would have been able to go to the home menu, right?
I guess so.
Mm.
So, which you, like, it with the, I think with the PS5 it doesn't pause the gameplay. Like when I push the PS button to go into the menu, it keeps running in the background.
Right. I would have to deliberately go check, I guess, to find out.
I mean, it suspends if you, like, go to the home menu and rest the PlayStation.
Yes.
Then it does suspend it.
Well, and it'll
obviously.
Yes. Because I've always been quitting game out of
that's what I've been doing.
Yeah.
Out of habit, I've been doing the save and quit thing because you always had to do that with them back in the day. So if you do hang it, if you suspend it, does it come back to exactly where you were?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Like, the other thing is that Dark Souls did all this stuff better than Demon's Souls, which is why that one kicked off more.
Right.
Because this one is a little antiquated in that way. They hadn't quite figured out a lot of this stuff of, like, teaching you how it works organically.
Mm.
That happens better in Dark Souls. And it took me years of trying Demon Souls and trying Dark Souls. And I don't think I properly really clicked with any of them until Dark Souls 3.
Right.
Which was like years later.
Mm.
So it is something that very much, I think there's no coincidence that a lot of the people who get into it are also people who at some point have sat down for 12 hours with it and just gone with it.
Mm. Yep.
That mentality of the high risk stuff as well goes away then. Because if you're like, well, I'll be here for a while.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You're not putting as much pressure on yourself. And well, I think that makes them more fun is when you start going like, yeah, I'm going to lose a bunch of shit. It's fine.
I think it's definitely too, like with this remake specifically, the fact that it looks so good and the fact that it's the one PS5 exclusive really works in its favor for like wanting to have spent a lot of time with
Godfall.
For being like, well, yeah, I really want to sink into this experience. Like that's the reason I tried it in the first place was because I just got this shiny new console and I want to get the thing that looks like it's kind of showing it off the best. Mm. And so I'm enjoying how it looks so much that even if it's frustrating to be reset, like I found myself just still wanting to push in and do that learning because I'm like, you know what? I don't really care. I love how this looks and I'm enjoying having a new console. So, like, yeah, any other time had it have just been a PS4 remake last year, I don't know that I would have. I would have just still assumed, eh, not for me.
And I think that like, because there's probably, it takes about 40-ish hours to finish one of these.
Right.
And when you compare it to something like Persona, I guess, that's like 100 hours long, you are investing less time into this, but it feels like more because you're not making tangible progress in the same way.
Mm.
But then when you realize that the fifth time you went to the Taonite, you ran through all of those bits, you just zipped past all the enemies and dodged and weaved and just didn't even bother fighting them and then got there, you look back on it and go, oh, yeah, I guess I'm... You know, it's like fucking learning a sport or something it's fucking frustrating as hell and it sucks and it's for jocks and I hate it. No, like, it definitely, it is demanding in that way.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it takes a while to learn and it takes time to get that enjoyment out of it.
Yeah, because I think now I'm at the stage where I do enjoy it moment to moment now.
Right.
And I'm loving how it looks. And like the first time you see, like when you're like yanked down the first bridge and there's a little cinematic, you're like, fuck, a new thing has happened.
Yeah.
Like that's how games used to feel to me. It's like, finally I've got to this next stage. That's great. I'm loving it. Beautiful presentation. Now I'm at the stage where I'm like, I'm nowhere near strong enough to bring down this boss yet. The only way I can really improve is by collecting souls and then going back and leveling up. But
maybe there's a little secret or maybe there's a trick to it. Who can say?
Maybe.
Maybe if you read a couple of them little fucking things on the ground, the little toilet wall writing.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll say something.
I mean, I've read the...
this is an annoying
I've read how to beat him and I'm like, I run up to him from behind and hit him and it's like taking off a microscopic percent of his health.
Yeah. Right. It is. That is not because you're too weak.
Right. Okay. Fucking hell. And that's like, well, I don't have the time. I don't have the time literally to play this boss battle.
I reckon with these like more than anything too, look it up.
Yeah. That got recommended to me is like, this is the game to play with a guide open next to you. And it is hard mentally to get over that thing of like, I'll use guides from time to time if I'm absolutely stuck on something and just going around in circles.
Yeah.
And like, this is just a case of like, this is drawn weirdly. And it's always like, no, the door's right there. It's like, well, you know, whatever it is. But still, it's like there's a part of me that feels like, ah, that's cheating. And you're kind of shortchanging things. So it is a hard hurdle to get over of like, this is meant to be played like this when, I don't know if you feel the same way, Ben, but it, you know, it really does feel like using a guide is like, well you know, why fucking bother? Where's the point in that?
Why don't I just watch a YouTube playthrough?
Well, because the actual mechanical tasks are so difficult and are so, demand so much skill as well. I playing it with a guide or with someone talking you through bits when you want and that sort of stuff is like playing these on like a normal mode.
Right.
And if you want to do it on hard, you go in blind.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because the reason I got into 3 more than any of the others is because my brother was playing it at the same time and we were talking about what was happening.
Right.
And so like with the Taonite, for example, there's a thing I could tell you that you would go, oh, fuck, I'll try that.
Mm.
When you get home, I don't know if you want me to tell you.
Well, no, but like okay.
You're gonna get frustrated by it again.
I mean, you want him to go fuck himself?
Do you want a if you're a Wendy's burger double, double? Who has a double double? Is that a real one?
Double doubles in and out. I think.
Okay.
Right.
It's quadruple cunt.
Spoilers, I guess, for people who have want to play Demon's Souls and don't want to hear what I've read in a guide on how to beat the Tower Knight.
Right.
Skip forward on your podcast app 30 seconds. It's like you can run up the top, and if you have ranged attacks, you can just get him from up there.
If you're using a sword, there's a different way to do it. That is...
Okay.
If
am I going to read that in a guide?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, well then just tell me now.
I'll tell you. Whack the back of his feet and blue shit will start coming out and he'll fall over at some point. Then you hit his head and he'll get lots of damage.
Well, that's what I read, but I'm like whacking his feet and nothing's happening. Well, you know, like a tiny amount of damage.
But it's not the damage.
Happening.
Don't look at the damage. Look at his... What's the back of a shin?
Heel?
Calf.
Oh, calf. Right.
But it's like an Achilles heel thing. And like the armor will start shattering, some blue shit will start coming out. You do it enough, he'll fall over. There isn't that much of an indicator. Like it does show you that stuff, but it really is something where if you didn't know, it would be hard to naturally figure out.
Sure, yeah.
Unless you're in the mindset where you're going to poke at everything with it. That's the thing. It's like you've got to, even if something looks like it's not working or even if something seems counterintuitive, it does want you to investigate more. And sometimes hints are in like descriptions of weapons or there's a like they'll often be in the little things, the little hidden, not hidden, little put down marker
messages.
Messages. That's it. Jesus Christ.
It'll be like a cryptic sort of like, well, sometimes it's direct.
So yeah, sometimes it'll be like attack feet.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Photo feet. Photograph feet, send feet.
Yeah.
Wicked, fair night, Thouist in a Wendy's.
But yes, I like that, and I have had to do that for bosses in older games. Like, I think this one, it's just like, sometimes it will take me 5-6 goes to get to him.
Yeah.
And then I'll run up to him and I'll hit him a couple of times and run away. I'll run back. Maybe he'll take half my health. I'll do it again. He kills me, and I'm like, well, fuck, now I've got to do something else with my day.
Yeah.
General stuff as well, like rolling is pretty good. And you can only roll well if you're under 50% total, like, burden, equipped burden.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you roll quicker. And when you roll, there's a little bit of invincibility there, so you can just roll through attacks. Shields do work pretty well too.
Yeah.
So it's a learning process, and I can absolutely see, because it wasn't appealing to me at one stage, how that isn't appealing, especially when there's a million other things to do.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? It's like, well, in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks, the game that I anticipate playing for 175 hours is coming out.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, like at this point, I'll probably play Demon's Souls up until that.
Yeah.
So that's cool, and I'm looking forward to getting better at this game and feeling satisfied by that.
But then when Hentai Simulator comes out.
Exactly right.
I have been hesitant to go back to it because... Yeah, I had a couple of big sessions and felt like I was getting better. But then now I haven't played it for a few days. Mm. And I do, like you were saying, I feel like I'm already will have kind of lost that. You know, it does feel like something that you've got to really jack yourself into and be just exclusively playing for
a
these
little
like
bit.
Marathon sessions.
Because the controls are weird compared to other games.
Yeah.
It's very unique and weird. And when it clicks for you, it clicks hard.
Mm.
And if it doesn't, it doesn't hard as well.
Mm. Yeah.
It works hard, it plays hard. Like me, a finance guy.
But yes.
Work hard, play hard means I take cocaine.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a thing during the week. A bunch of outlets got to spend, what was it, 16 hours with Cyberpunk?
Because we'd see it was 4 last time.
Yeah.
And now they've doubled that.
Yeah.
And it's 16.
Mm.
And the impression seems to be that it's only around, what is it, like 8 hours that you're kind of out of the prologue.
That's when you
really
get a title card and
you
use stuff.
Yeah.
There's some footage of it as well too, because like copies of it, like the pressed disc, got out. So it's interesting that the disc will have the version that would have come out on the 19th.
The gold version, right? Yeah.
And then they delayed it till the 10th to put a significant patch out there before anyone played it. So it must be fucked.
Yeah.
It seems as though it's the base PS4 and the base Xbox One that they're worried about.
Mm-hmm.
They put out some footage themselves, and there was some footage got out of some people playing it. And it looks fine. It doesn't look broken to me.
No.
There's chatter about how like the streets look a little empty. Mm-hmm. Not that many people walking around.
Yeah, which is based on what we've seen alone, and I think all of us, at least Tommy and I, watched the IGN previews, and I don't know if you saw the question and answer video that the guy did.
I didn't. I just read it. I didn't. I sort of don't want to. I kind of stopped watching stuff about
it.
2 weeks,
right?
Yeah. It kind of takes it all out. I just want to go in. I can't even really now picture it in my head. I just stopped watching footage of it so long ago because I didn't want to lessen that impact of it. I've been reading stuff, but not,
It's still pretty much the same 5 minutes of footage, and in every preview it's the stock footage. It's not gameplay that they've captured. Right. But he responded to, a bunch of people asking that stuff about the empty streets, and he was like, well, at nighttime, the streets are a little more empty, and I think a lot of the footage is at night because it's, like, beautiful neon signs, and, like, that is a great way to show it off. But, yeah, there's less people on the streets, but when you walk through, like, a night market, it's packed. Right. Like, it is... This empty streets thing is just based on a limited set of footage that's been released, so
don't worry. Those previews were based on that original... build that doesn't have the update attached to it, I believe.
It's a setting. It's a graphical setting that you're worried about there, you know? Like, of course, the PS4 version is going to look worse than a high-end PC will. That's the same with everything. So, like, I don't think it'll have a tangible effect on how fun the game is. So it's not too much to worry about. But big game like this and having to wait and stuff, people talk about, they dissect every aspect of it, you know, totally. Which is fair enough, right? Because I want to do that too.
I think the one thing that... I mean, I think maybe I assumed this, or I just didn't mind about it because it's sort of why I play these games. They did emphasize the combat is not particularly high-end or next-gen or whatever, but it's not a combat-focused game. Like, it is an RPG with combat elements.
Yeah.
And the RPG stuff is fucking sick.
I'll tell you what, a good RPG with bad combat... I went back and finished off the DLC thing of Outer Worlds. It can really be annoying to have to do lots of bad combat
to,
in a good RPG.
To you, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't. It's a side thing. It's ticking a box for me.
When it's forcing you to do a lot of the combat, is
frustrating.
The thing that I liked hearing about Cyberpunk was that they were saying different to a lot of open world games. Is that, combat really isn't a focus. It is pretty easy to get through a lot of missions without ever having to really get in it. There's also not so much of that thing of you go on from A to B and along the way you get jumped a dozen times and you end up in these encounters that you can sort of avoid. But, you know, Ghost of Tsushima, you're riding your horse along and then it's like guys coming at you and like you're getting hit off you, you know, by arrows and stuff like that, which have always been my least favorite part of these games. I like just... finding new parts of the map, exploring the world. So to hear that you're not ending up in these combat scenarios all that often is great.
Yeah.
Like the thing I read said, if you're looking at this as a first-person shooter, you're going to be let down.
Yeah.
Well, and it sounds like it's closer to Deus Ex than like a Fallout or Outer Worlds where the combat is like a lot of the game still.
Right,
you know?
Right.
It sounds like it's avoidable at most times, or you could do it if you wanted. But
I think Fallout and the Outer Worlds are really good examples, right? Because... the combat, like it, when they came out, it really wasn't up to standards of, contemporary games. Like FPSs were, so much more advanced than them at the time. But I didn't mind. I accept. I'm not going to say objectively because that's the worst word in video games discussion. But like, you know, it's not as good as it could have been if they'd developed it more.
Right. As a fact rather than my opinion.
I haven't read that this is bad, though.
I haven't read that Cyberpunk's bad. I've just read that it's not a great FPS.
They never presented it as though it was a Call of Duty or whatever either. So it really does seem weird that people are harping on that
but I guess
part of it.
My taste is Outer Worlds Fallout 4. I accept that the combat isn't as good as Call of Duty because I value everything else in it so much more.
I think that's the problem I have with Outer Worlds with the DLC is that there's just a bunch of combat you kind of have to do a lot more than in the main game. So that's poor design as well.
Right.
Like that's the level design that's the issue there.
Well,
the
allowing
combat.
You to skirt around combat situations because you love RPG elements more is good design.
I want to talk my way through all that shit.
Well,
also, like, the impression I got was that, I thought the Outer Worlds combat was really bad.
Right.
But the impression that I'm getting about the combat in Cyberpunk is that it's just not amazing.
Exactly.
It's not, like, I haven't read anyone say it's bad, which is what I heard a lot about Outer Worlds and how I felt. It's just like, this isn't the best FPS ever made. It's an open world RPG with FPS elements in it, and so that hasn't been a priority in how they've made it. Yeah. So yeah, it's not up to scratch with the best of the best of them, but it's fine.
Yep. But it all looks good, and I think I've been tossing up whether to get it on a PS5 or a PC.
Me too.
It's a tough fucking decision. We're in almost exactly the same. We're in the same situation.
Yes, yes.
Where I know my PC could run it fine.
Yep.
Well.
Even. Yeah, yeah.
But I'm worried because I always fucking worry about settings and shit.
Yeah, sure.
It's something about PC games that I really struggle with
not
mentally.
Knowing that you don't have the exact same experience as everyone else who's playing this game.
Or just knowing that maybe I could change something and make it slightly better. Maybe I could, you know what I mean? Like, there's just always a little thing in the back of my head of like, should I turn down the anti-aliasing? Right. Maybe I get four more frames. And I don't actually care about that stuff when I'm going, but it just bothers me for some reason.
I know, having the option. You know what I think would be nice? Like starting it on a PS5, and so you're just getting the PS4 Pro version, right? Mm. But then they are going to patch it down the line, which is something that...
But that's the thing.
It's a game you'll be spending so much time in that eventually when that comes along, having that overnight sudden upgrade, I think would be pretty sweet.
But who knows when that's coming along.
Yeah, good point.
Because they keep saying next year... At some point.
And they're not saying early next year.
No.
Right.
And they were saying early this year for this game, which is coming out on the 10th of December.
Yep.
So I reckon if you've got the option, go for a PC version. Well, I mean, if you've got the option, then you can fucking buy it twice because you've got $1 million or you waste all of your limited money on video games.
I might buy it twice purely for the fact of, like, I live with someone now, so I can't necessarily always guarantee a fully immersive experience playing it on the couch.
You're getting cardio yelled in your ear every 20 seconds. Yeah.
I can't, if it's, 3 p.m. on a Thursday and I've got some time, I'm having a late lunch break. Yeah, if my partner's on like a work call, I can't close all the blinds and fire up Cyberpunk.
I know.
It's an incredible position we find ourselves in to be able to justify reasonably purchasing two copies of the same game.
Yeah.
But why not take advantage of it if you happen to be in that position? Mm-hmm. So I need to eat.
What I might have to do is connect my old PS4 that I still have to my computer monitor.
This sounds like the worst of both worlds.
And stream it from the PS5.
Oh, right.
To that box.
I haven't tried that yet.
That's,
I want to try that streaming stuff. It's so weird that they just chuck that in without talking about it.
Yeah. I don't know if maybe out there, listeners, if you know if that's a dumb idea, if it's better to just buy it on PC.
Well, if it weren't for the fact that we do this podcast, I would wait a week.
Yeah.
And I would see how it runs and all this different stuff because it is so up in the air. Wait for that Digital Foundry video or whatever.
Yep.
Because it does seem like a taxing game and it's something where, like, if the PC that I do have is going to run it like shit, which it probably won't. I don't know. I who cares? This is a so individual decision for every different person who's in different situations. But I'm going to get the Switch version.
Looking forward to it. Not long now.
Mm. Yeah.
Speaking of Switch versions, you and I, Adam, I'm not sure about you, Ben, but we've been playing Hyrule Warriors.
Speaking of being worried shit will run poorly.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. Oof. It's a fun game.
It's really fun. I really enjoy it, but it is. It's such a shame.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's such a shame that it came out the week. I've kind of been dreading it because it's like, oh, man, this is going to look so janky compared to having such a nice time with the... that's it. The more I play the PS5 and then a game like Hyrule Warriors coming out really makes me hope that those Switch Pro rumors are true.
I'd love that.
Getting my dick sucked in 4K. Just it's like now it's got to be all 4K or nothing.
Yeah,
folks.
That's a weird way to put it, but strange thing to do in a Wendy's. Well,
the track was being built as the train was coming along. It's very, very fun. So, yeah, if you've never played a Warriors game, this is a long-running series that they kind of spin off with all sorts of different properties. They made a Zelda one a couple of years ago, a few years ago, actually, that was more
kind
of
2014,
like,
it was a Wii U one originally.
Zelda fanfic, kind of all the timelines kind of merging together.
Yeah. Dynasty Warriors is the main series that people might have heard of.
Where they're these kind of big maps and the whole hook is...
Sir, we don't have big maps here. This is a Wembies.
It's you versus like often like hundreds, dozens of enemies at a time where you're kind of insanely overpowered and can take out 50 people in one blow.
Exactly. Kind of most thing. Of those small enemies aren't doing anything to you. You're looking for the big ones running yep. around the battlefield. You've got a whole bunch of confusing and difficult to remember moves with a bunch of different characters.
Yep.
I'm finding myself just completely forgetting the button combinations for everything for some reason.
Yes.
I don't know why the controls of this game aren't sticking with me because I'm having a very fun time with it.
Yeah.
But it is...
It's got a lot in it. I mean, I guess, yeah, that it is good that most of the enemies that are coming at you can't really do all that much damage because yeah. often you're like, oh no, which is the button to... So yeah, each character has yeah strong attack, weak attack, and
which
then
is just X and Y.
X and
you
Y
can do that easily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you know often you do three weak ones in a row, and then a strong one is like a certain type of combo.
Yeah.
You've then also got with the ZR, you've got a unique action for each character.
So like for Link, it's shooting a bow.
Right.
For Impa, it's like charging up some weird
making
magic.
Clones of herself. Yeah. Everyone's is kind of unique. And then each character also has the rune Sheikah Slate powers from Breath of the Wild.
Oh, right.
So you hold down R and then, you know, you go up, down, left or right to select the bomb or mm-hmm. the... And they're all kind of slightly different for each character.
Right.
Yeah.
So
the Cryosis thing where you make the ice will either launch you into the air and then you can do an attack from above, or you can like attack enemies with the ice kind of, I think.
Yeah.
So, and then, yeah.
But basically, you run around this map and there's kind of bits of story kind of unfolding. You're switching between characters and little objectives will pop up that are basically like, oh, this big enemy has appeared over here. You need to go take it out. Or, you know, there's these three outposts that you need to clear and capture, which just means going into the area and taking out all the enemies in it. So it's like kind of this unfolding scenario in this map. You're running between different points and taking out these hordes of enemies, or you can cover ground quicker if you switch between the characters and look on the map and go, oh, this person's already all the way over there, so I'll just switch
to them.
You can
order them to move around if you're not there.
Right.
You can hold L and do stuff to do an item.
Yeah.
There's just lots of things going on. It's very fast moving and hectic.
Mm.
But it is very fun and it looks nice. It's got the Breath of the Wild aesthetic to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For anyone who doesn't know, it's a prequel to Breath of the Wild, even though it's a different game using a different engine, but it's all the same assets, all the same sound effects, the same looking like overworld map is where you launch your missions from.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's basically telling the story of the war that happened 100 years before Breath of the Wild that is constantly referenced in Breath of the Wild.
Mm. Exactly. And that aspect of it is very, very cool. You've got like this little R2-D2 guy who is like a time traveling little robot who's
a baby
trying to
guardian.
Help you out.
Yeah.
Ah! Yeah.
And pedestrian.
Link.
Pedestrian Link is the baby guardian.
Oh.
I'm trying to think of a good, like the newspaper, the
Junkie.
Guardian.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You looked at me with a current day hotel. Your expression was that vacant. fun little stories unfolding about this old war. You meet all the champions.
It seems crazy to me that the canonical telling of this story is happening in a Dynasty Warriors
game. Spin-off.
Kind of.
It's bizarre that it's very Nintendo and conceptually, I love it. I love everything about this.
And
it's
aesthetically,
so
it's
weird
being
and
done perfectly.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, because it looks and sounds and, looks and sounds, the part.
Feels?
No, well, so all of that stuff, all the trimmings are great. You're finding little Koroks in the map. All of it is very Zelda-y stuff. It looks like the places you remember from Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
And the frame rate is like you remember from Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
At its worst parts, though, as well. It is constantly running poorly. This game, like it is, it feels bad to play often because of how poorly it's running, and you get used to it, and it's still fun, and nothing you're doing is so complex that it gets fucked up really by it.
Yeah. Right.
But especially switching back from like all these games running so smoothly now,
right,
to this like chugging along on a Switch, it does feel quite bad.
Mm.
Yeah, I have not found it hitching up too often for me.
Right.
I think it's like anything, like once you're in it, you're just used to like this is how it looks.
Sure.
Like it's a lower frame rate. I haven't really found too many areas where I've noticed like I've had some camera issues for sure where I've been doing a little combo thing and it's like pointing at the ground and it often feels like it gets overwhelmed by you're in a corner and you're trying to take out this big guy here, and then you're also being attacked on this front and the camera doesn't quite know where to go. I found that more annoying more than I found the frame rate issues. I've noticed that more than I've noticed any frame rate stuff.
It hitches up sometimes, but it's just always running quite badly.
Yeah,
right.
It's always kind of like a sub 30, like, you know, it, and yeah, it's not the end of the world.
Mm.
It's just noticeable, especially when you're going back and forth, which I think most people who own a Switch kind of are playing stuff in other places too.
I don't think.
So, but the whole Breath of the Wildness of it is so driving me through it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool. The music especially is
fucking
great.
Music's great. And it just is fun. This format of you are incredibly overpowered and can just run through this swarm of enemies. And the whole thing about it's hard to remember like where all the buttons are and all the different things that you have at your disposal. It kind of doesn't matter because you can just charge through and go X, 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 Y, right. And then just be like launching. And for the bigger enemies, there are things where they have like a, what's it called? Like a break, like a kind of gauge thing where if you wear it down, they're then open to a weak point attack. Mm-hmm. And you can only break that gauge down at certain moments. So if they've swung at you and missed, then they're open and you can kind of like chip away at that.
Right.
Yeah. So for the bigger enemies, there's degrees of strategy to it.
But it feels like you're playing it with cheats on or something all the time. It's like one of those old shooters where you'd just be shooting a million people. It's like some serious, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Serious Sam stuff.
Yeah,
it just really feels
very arcade-y.
In a satisfying way, though.
Yeah.
It feels good to just cut your way through thousands of things and not really think about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like weirdly meditative.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you're having this simple, straightforward gameplay that, like, the controls are confusing, but it's because I'm trying to do things, like, make decisions of what to do, but you really don't need to.
Right.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The vibe of it is so fun.
And unlocking the new characters is great. Going to Death Mountain and being able to play as Daruk, the big fucking
Daruk,
dude champion.
Daruk is on fire.
Just feels great. Unlocking all that stuff and because it's been...
There's tons in there too.
Yeah. Mm. The one thing I haven't really enjoyed so far, which I thought would and probably should have been a slam dunk, is you get to pilot the Divine Beasts.
Mm.
And they... The one of them I've done sort of felt like shit.
Yeah.
Right.
It just, for something that you're in this, you know, you want it to feel like a kind of a mech kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, like a Gundam thing, but you're in this plodding, just like straight line section and it's kind of hard to control and it just doesn't, it's so slow and slow. Like, I really thought that was going to be, when I heard that was in the game, I thought, oh, fuck, that's going to be awesome. And then it's just, it's kind of a chore.
It feels like a huge afterthought.
Yeah.
Crying.
Yeah. A real shame. Like, it should have been the most, it should have been one of the most fun bits. But yeah, it's a bit underbaked.
Yeah.
Bit. But all the rest of it is, really fun.
Because it is bizarre that the gameplay is nothing like Breath of the Wild. But if you're into Breath of the Wild enough, that the look and the sound of it and all of that stuff and just the... It's the same locations. Like, they look the same, but they're turned into this map.
Yep.
And there's still buildings and shit there because it's 100 years ago.
Oh, yeah,
That is really, really cool.
Yeah,
I'm really
nice.
Enjoying that part of it.
Just going into the menus and all the sound effects are the same.
Yeah.
It's,
that little fucking...
It is getting by a lot on the fact of, like, we all loved Breath of the Wild, and it's been just long enough to be like... In fact, probably the worst thing that you could say about it is that it's not the actual sequel. Like, I know I've seen some stuff online of, like, that's putting people off. Like, they're going into it going, and then they're just not, you know, if this kind of gameplay doesn't click with you, it's like, oh, man, I just want to be exploring the world again or whatever.
I think the fact that this gameplay can be so easily mashed through and, like, it is so simple and... like, that's to the detriment of the game in terms of how, like, satisfying it is to play or whatever, but it works in favor of it in the way that you get to just see all of the Breath of the Wild shit pretty easily.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like,
you know what it did get me very excited for is Persona 5 Scramble.
Yeah.
Oh,
that
yes.
Running on a PS4 or 5 or whatever that can actually handle these huge hordes of enemies. And same thing, set in that world, all the same kind of aesthetic and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I love the Dynasty Warriors just gets these... transplanted spin-off games of, like, well, it's too soon for a sequel, but this will scratch the itch for a lot of people.
There was a thing that when they listed it on some online store somewhere that apparently is trustworthy for Persona 5 Scramble. for February of next year, the English version.
So great.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it is like, it's, if this weren't a Breath of the Wild thing, I doubt I would be bothering to play this after a certain point.
Well, that's kind of what happened to me with the first Hyrule Warriors. I was like, oh, I really like this, and played two levels of it. And then, yeah, just the story, like I said, being very Zelda fanficky, it's like, I don't really care about this, and got checked out pretty quickly. But yeah, the seeing this all unfold is really cool. And yeah, there's like lots of cutscenes in it. The voice acting is still terrible, so I would say switch it to Japanese and do it with subtitles, which is what I've been doing.
But yeah, the game is fun enough that you don't feel like you're wasting your time, really.
Yeah.
It. Like, it is okay.
Yes.
I don't know. It's
but
weird.
But it's like, it's good trashy escapism, sort of.
I think the game itself, the actual playing it, is quite bad.
Right.
I think that these Warriors games are pretty bad.
Okay.
But this is, like, as good as one of those gets in the way that it's just, like, dumb as hell, kind of blah blah blah.
Yeah,
So, yeah, 11 out of 10.
Great. Sick. All right. Well, should we wrap it up there for another week?
You tell me.
Casuals. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks very much for joining us. Filthycasuals.com.au for the links to all our social media stuff. We got the Patreon. Get a bonus episode every week of the pod. We've got the premium episodes on the Bandcamp. We've got our Let's Plays over on the YouTube channel. Check them out. Thanks very much for joining us. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
sir, that was a Wendy's.
Nice.
Smug, huh?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.